This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It was 1 year ago when the Education Trust Midwest launched an effort called Michigan Achieves. The goal was crystal clear: make Michigan a top 10 education state and do it by 2030. The latest report from the nonpartisan Education Trust Midwest finds not only are we not closer to that goal, Michigan is slipping even further behind. Amber Arellano of the Education Trust Midwest is here now to talk about the latest report. So, Amber, what do these numbers tell us, and how is Michigan falling further behind other states?
A year ago, we were really kind of taking a look at what will it take us to become a top 10 education state. You know, for many of us that grew up in Michigan, we prided ourselves in having great public institutions, including great public schools. And we were, you know, at least average, if not above average, compared to other states around the country. And when we looked out, you know, it was clear that we had a lot of catching up to do with leading education states around the country. And what's happened is that we have indeed fallen farther behind. We were projecting last year that if we didn't really change our policy and practices to be more thoughtful and research-based, that white students in Michigan would become 49th or 50th in the country in the next 15 years. We're actually reached that bottom, which I hope is the bottom, in 1 year. We're now ranked 49th in the country for a key indicator, including fourth grade reading. So that's a pretty startling decline, and I think it goes really kind of in the face of one of the conventional wisdoms in Michigan that our education problem is really kind of centered in urban areas or in really high poverty neighborhoods. And the truth is all of our students are falling behind other states around the country.
In fact, I know your report says new data suggests Michigan is witnessing systemic failure across racial and socioeconomic groups. So we are seeing this across the state?
We're seeing it across the state, and we're seeing it across every socioeconomic group. So even higher income students have fallen significantly behind their higher income peers in other states. The conventional wisdom in Michigan for decades has been, well, if I can get my child into a good suburban public school, everything will be fine. And maybe that's true in some cases, but the truth is in order for us to be a great state, we've got to keep up with the rest of the country and the rest of the world. Our kids are competing against the smartest kids in the world now. It's not just whether my kid can get into Central Michigan or whether, you know, or Michigan State or the local community college. I mean, there are talented young people from all around the world now coming to Michigan universities. And so we've really got to focus on really getting smarter and much more research-based on how we do public education in our state.
Which leads to why? Is it a matter of money? Is it quality of the teachers or the caliber of the leadership, either at the local level or in Lansing?
When we look at leading education states, we can see kind of a common set of strategies and practices that they've adopted over the last 15 years. And many of those practices we are simply either not doing here or we're not doing them well. You know, we can say pass bills or we can invest dollars into improvement strategies, but if they're not implemented well, things are not going to go right. We're not going to see the gains in our schools that we need to see. So just a quick example, every leading state in the country was really committed early on in their transformation process to raising their performance standards for teaching and learning. We're just starting to do that. In a state like Massachusetts, they did that almost 20 years ago. We're just doing that. We're in the first couple years of that implementation, but we're already talking about getting rid of the most honest and important data that we can have, the state assessment that we have now that tell us how we're doing against those benchmarks. If we don't even have honest information about how we're doing against those higher performance standards, it's really difficult for schools and educators to know, am I reaching this new goal? How do I calibrate my instruction in order to make sure that I'm really teaching my kids at this higher level of learning?
Are you talking about the whole controversy about no more MEEP? We've got Common Core. What are we going to have? Okay, now we're going to do MSTEP. Now we're not. Is that all part of this?
Exactly. Exactly.
And whose fault is it?
I don't know if it's a fault, but certainly there has been this continually sort of shifting of strategy and the net effect.
Hasn't that been led by the legislature?
Well, that, and I mean, there's been other state leaders and other branches of government, too. The Michigan Department of Education plays a really important role in providing leadership on these issues. If our state continues to try to, you know, make changes in these things right when we're starting to get momentum on what is arguably the most important transformation strategy that the state has, that's been proven, that's research-based in every leading state in the country, and we're continuing to shift, it really feels for many educators on the ground and for many families that they're being jerked around. It's not one individual branch of government, right? But it's just the net effect of many different sort of changes that can happen over time.
It seems like it got very politicized.
Yeah, and I think that's part of our sort of call in this report is really calling many different stakeholders around the state, including the business community, because they can be a really important voice in terms of thoughtful leadership to really call us toward a journey that's focused on data, that's focused on the best practices from leading education states, that's focused on quality implementation. Implementation is everything. There can be lots of great ideas. We can talk about lots of data-based strategies, but ultimately how we do it is everything. We should be having a conversation about investing more money, and we should be having a conversation particularly around investing more in low-income students, because we are in a very inequitable state for school funding. But the money is not enough. All of the research around the country and all of leading states show us that we have to do the work. How we do it makes all the difference in the world. How we invest makes a huge difference.
We're talking at a time when the state legislature and our top state policymakers have to figure out, where are we going to find the money to keep Detroit public school doors open, Flint water issues? And are all of those needs, those big, expensive, big ticket needs, going to draw resources away from school districts elsewhere in the state?
It's not clear. And I think there's going to be a lot of continued conversation over the next month about how all of that's going to come together. I do think the Detroit conversation in particular highlights sort of these underlying structural challenges that we have as a state. We're often reacting to the latest calamity or the latest emergency. But there are these really deep underlying issues going on, like a very inequitable funding formula. We're now in the bottom 10 states in the country for having one of the most inequitable funding formulas in the country over years and decades. That does have an impact on school districts that are facing sometimes significant legacy debt. They have high need students. Many of their students are coming to K-12 with a lot of needs, and they need more resources, and we need to be investing in those students. They need it. Our state needs it. We need every student in our state to be a top 10 student, or in other words, performing and learning at top 10 state levels, because this is really not only about them. Fundamentally, it's about their life opportunities and ensuring that they have access to the best jobs and family supporting jobs for their lifetimes. But it's a huge talent issue in our state. I mean, we're facing a talent crisis if we're not preparing kids and our young people to compete against the rest of the world. We can't attract the best employers and best companies around the world if we don't have a high caliber workforce.
I'm a parent. I hear what you're saying. I want my kid to be in a top 10 school, and I want my kid to be a top 10 state performing student. How does an individual parent have any say-so in the kinds of things that happen in Lansing, decisions that are made? How do I help? What do I do?
At the micro level, I mean, yeah. I think we all know as parents, what are the things that we do day to day? Being in touch with the teacher, supporting our children as we can, because all of us have, you know, different sorts of challenges with that. With homework, being on top of the homework, being aware of what's going on in terms of your local school district or in the state level conversation. But in terms of the macro level, certainly, I mean, as a mom, and I have a 4-year-old, in my personal role, that would be difficult to have a real voice in the state level conversation in terms of public education. So we are trying to provide more opportunities for more stakeholders around the state to have a voice in that. And we invite people to be part of that conversation. They can go to MichiganAchieves.com. We have letters that they can send to key leaders on particular topics. They can sign up to get more information. I mean, just being informed in the conversation is really important, because a lot of this, as you know, it's often changing now by the month, if not by the week. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much going on in education right now, and it's all hugely important. I mean, something as simple as a state assessment, that might not sound that important, but the truth is that if we don't have a high-caliber state assessment, we won't know how we're doing compared to other states around the country, and that's partly what got us into this mess. We didn't know for many, many years, because we were using an outdated state assessment, we just didn't know that we were falling behind the rest of the country. We had low standards. And when we expect not a lot from our kids, that's what they deliver. And we've gotten low achievement for that.
And here we sit at 49 out of 50.
And here we sit. We have to have an honest conversation, and that starts with honest data. It starts with honest comparable data on how we're doing against these new benchmarks. We're never going to change if we're not really being honest with ourselves about how we're doing against those kind of benchmarks.
So what's the recommendation that you've got from the Education Trust Midwest? Where should we be?
Well, we need to make sure that we stay on track with these new higher performance standards for teaching and learning. And we've got to make sure that we're getting honest data about how we're doing compared to other states around the country against those benchmarks. One of the other things that we should be doing over the next couple of years is really ensuring that all of our educators are being properly supported to reach those new performance standards. Frankly, it's just not acceptable and it's not fair to educators to not be providing more of that kind of support and training. And to give a sense of what that kind of implementation looks like in Michigan compared to a leading state. Tennessee is now one of the highest growth states. If you look at the data over the last several years, one of the highest growth states in the country for student achievement. In 2003, they were underperforming Michigan. Today, they're truly on target to become a top 10 education state in the next several years. So we can learn a lot from them. When they implemented new performance standards, they invested significantly in making sure every teacher in their state had been trained on those new standards. They trained more than 30,000 teachers over 3 years. I mean, that's great leadership. You know, we invest in what we care about and what we value. And we're not valuing our teachers and our principals enough. I mean, if we really, really value them, and we should be because they're arguably the education system's greatest asset, right? One of the state's greatest asset, we would be investing more in that kind of support. So those are the kinds of great practices that we should be incorporating in our state. When we're serious about change, that's the kind of practice that we'll be seeing here.
Is there any good news in the report? Is there anything that's been done right or that is promising?
We have been starting to put into play some really significant investments and some significant commitments to change. For example, the legislature last year invested about $25 million in becoming top 10 state, starting with third grade reading. This year, they're considering making another pretty significant investment. That's a really smart investment. If we're going to start somewhere in terms of becoming top 10, that's where we should start. If we're now at the bottom 5 states in the country for third grade reading, let's start there. We know if kids are on track to read by third grade, they're much more likely to succeed in K-12 and to graduate from high school. We just have to make sure that we're spending that money wisely.
And again, the website for people who want to find out more is MichiganAchieves.com. Amber Arellano of the Education Trust Midwest, always great to talk with you. We certainly understand what's at stake if this doesn't turn around.
Thank you so much.